I'd like you to take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter number 6. I want to finish this chapter today and just try to point out a few things by the help of the Lord. I ask you just to continue to bear with me. I had hoped so much by now that my voice would be far better than what it is. I can tell improvements, but it's just not as fast as I wish it was. I was talking to Alice and I yesterday, and I said it's hard to explain how that every Botox injection is different. Some affects me like this for just a short while, some a little longer. Some helps more than what others do. It is just a process we never know. But I thank you for patience in dealing with us as we deal with it. Revelation chapter 6, starting in the 12th verse. John says, "And I beheld, when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" If correctly read, that is first 12 down through verse 17, finishing the chapter of Revelation 6. As a reminder, I want to just refresh our thoughts to realize that what we've been reading in looking at in this chapter has been carrying us through the 7 years of tribulation. It has begun as the seals were open. It began to talk about the coming of the Antichrist. How that he began to reign in peace. But in time, famine came because of the pressures and the turning of the Antichrist, bringing war and bloodshed. Disease and death on the earth. We talked about last time in the fifth seal how that John saw the martyred saints under the throne of God crying out and asking the Lord how long till he would avenge them of their death. And God told them to wait for a little while and rest, and then he would take care of it all. As the sixth seal opens, it pictures a time when the world will be shaken by the hand of God. I realize that even in our day, that God, I believe, right now, is shaking our world. I believe that things that we are seeing and hearing reveals a shaking that God is wreaking in our world. Just this week, on a single page of the Hickory Daily Record, I've read these articles. It said, Iceland volcano erupts again. Just 8 months after its last eruption, and after a week of increased earthquake activity, then it said the EPA warns several states about a potential health risk from medical processing plant emissions. Then it talked about an update on the pandemic. Then it discussed how the war in Ukraine, how that Sweden and Finland are joining NATO. Then it talked about the terrible floods in Kentucky and all the deaths. Then it described the wildfires in California still out of control. All of those things We're just on a single page. As a matter of fact, they actually didn't take up but about 2/3 of the page. I said all that to say this. As bad as things are in our world today, they don't hold a candle to what it'll be like in the days I'm talking about. As John continues to see the awful days of tribulation, as this seal is open, John says something that he hasn't said when the other seals have been opened. In 1st Quill, John says, I beheld when it opened the 6th seal, and John hasn't said, and with any other seal. So why does John use that word "ho" here? That word is the word used to capture attention and to show surprise. In other words, I believe that as this seal is open, that John is stunned by all he sees. The difference in this seal and the other 5 is that in this seal, God alone is doing the action. It describes in this seal the time of major catastrophe. I want us to think about it in that light for just a few minutes. These events remind us of what Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew 24 and verse 29. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. In the opening of this seal, chaos begins to take place on the earth. I notice that it says that there was a great earthquake, and it says that sun became black, the moon became his blood, the stars of heaven fell to the earth, sent the heavens, departed as a scroll. We have to ask the question today, is what God is describing, is it to be taken literally? Is that what God saying something that is really and literally taking place? I believe it is. There are words that God uses as description words, but God is describing some things that actually are going to take place. It is a cause of panic on the earth. I would imagine that this is the first of three earthquakes found in the book of Revelation. They are found in chapter 11, also chapter 16. Earthquakes. God described it as a great earthquake. I believe that earthquakes in themselves are a sign for the last days. Jesus said, in the last days, earthquakes would be in diverse places. Oh, we're living in a time as every year comes along, there are more and more earthquakes taking place. Last year, scientists tell us there were over 15,000 earthquakes that were 4.0 or greater on the Richter scale. Already through July, there are close to 9,000 of the same magnitude this year. I'm telling you that earthquakes are increasing even in our day. But John describes what is happening. John says that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. John is using descriptive words to try to describe what he is seeing. I can't imagine trying to describe all this, but John is saying it is like somebody put sackcloth over the sun and darkened it. Sackcloth in the Bible was always a type of mourning. Somebody, when their hearts were broken in scarcely. They would put sackcloth over their head as a sign of mourning in their life. God is describing the sun in a time of mourning. I believe that all of creation desires and longs to be released. But in those days, all the curse and the turmoil of earth, the sun is going to be darkened. Some have suggested that because of the earthquake, because of volcanic activity that goes together, that it'll cause the darkening of the sun. But John went on and said, and the moon became as blood. John said it becomes blood red in color. Again, I don't know, possibly the gases and the smoke in the atmosphere will have such an effect. But then he says, and the stars fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. God says, like a fig tree is shaken and green figs fall in great numbers. He said the stars of heaven are going to be falling. He said unto the earth. John is describing a meteor shower falling and hitting the earth from the stars. There are places already in our world that scientists have said that great craters have been formed because of meteorites or pieces of stars that have fallen. But it ain't nothing like what is going to happen in that day. God is going to shape this world like it has never been shaken before. But then he says something else. John says in verse 14, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. John is saying it's going to be like the heavens are just opening up. And all of the heavens, like a scroll, are opening up. And God's bringing judgment on the earth. But then he said, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. In the early morning hours of December 24th, 26, 2004, just off the coast of Sumatra in the Indian Ocean at 9.3, earthquake happened. It was the second largest earthquake that had ever been recorded. It caused a series of tsunamis or tidal waves reaching 100 feet high to cross the ocean, killing over 200,000 people in 11 countries. Sorry to say, it caused the entire earth to shake, caused earthquakes as far away as Alaska. There were aftershocks that were 8.7 on the scale for 4 days. And the shock waves were even felt in Oklahoma. They said that that earthquake had the power of 26 megatons of TNT. That's over 1,500 times greater than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Japan at the end of World War II. Scientists said it changed the Earth's rotation by 1 to 2 inches. And even some islands in the vicinity moved by as much as 4 feet and sank by 3 feet. It actually changed GPS coordinates in that area. It was so strong. Some scientists even said that it caused Mount Everest to shift. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying if that could happen now, it is not hard to imagine in the days of tribulation, God shaking this world so much that mountains shake and islands disappear. God said it was going to happen. Preacher, do you really think it will? Just as sure as I'm standing here, it's going to happen. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, God said, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire upon nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what I believe? I believe what John is describing in this sentence still. I told you this chapter is an overview. I believe John is describing the final moments of the great tribulation. Here's what I believe. I believe when John said the heavens departed like a scroll, I believe that God parted the heavens that all the world could see who is really in control. I believe that God let them see Him on the throne, because it says in verse 15 that the kings of the earth, that the great men, that the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. John said that every single person that is a sinner on the face of this earth, they're going to cry to the rocks and the mountains and say, hide us from His face. There was a time they could have repented. There was a time they could have cried out for salvation. There was a time they could have accepted the Lamb for redemption. But now they say, hide us from the face of Him on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you realize to be that is an oxymoron? To think about the wrath of the Lamb. I think of the Lamb as something gentle. I think of a tender lamb. How a shepherd takes care of his little lambs. I just don't think of the wrath of the Lamb. But that's what they're crying. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And then it says, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Not a single one. All the Christ rejecters, all the ungodly, not a single one shall be able to stand in the day of His wrath. I want to say to you today, the nature of to the Lamb of God is to save. The nature of the Lamb of God is to love. The nature of the Lamb of God is to care. But when people have rejected His love, His mercy, and His care, there'll be a day they'll face the wrath of the Lamb. I ask you the question today, are you ready to face Him? If you were to face Him just as you are right now, are you ready to face Him? Can you say in your heart, "Preacher, I have been washed in the blood. As they sung a while ago about the love of Jesus, as they sung about Him saving all sinners, I can rejoice in my heart because I know I'm saved." Or would you have to admit it and say, "Preacher, I'm not ready to meet Him. I'm not ready to meet Him. But I sure want to be ready today." I'll be honest with you. I have had some questions in my heart just between me and God. And I've wondered why in our congregation that God has had me dealing with the quickness, the suddenness, the soon coming of the Lord. Why God has sent me on into the time of judgment. And every invitation seems to come down with the same question. Are you saved? Do you know that you're ready to meet the Lord? In my heart I have been saying, "Lord, why?" But then the Lord says, "That's what I want you to preach. And that's the invitation I want you to give." I have made the statement more times than I can count. It would break my heart to pastor St. John Baptist Church and to preach the Word of God, and somebody sit in this congregation and die and go to hell. God allowed me to be here over 9 years when I was here before. The end of this year, if I've counted right, will be 9 years again. And I've never known a time when God over every Sunday, I always try to make an invitation available. But it's like over and over and over, God is saying, "Ask them, are they ready? Ask them, do they know they're saved? Ask them, are they sure? If Jesus comes today, ask them, are you ready to meet the Lord?" I don't want you facing eternity hoping so, thinking so, maybe so. But I want you to face eternity knowing so. You say, "Preacher, I've got a lot of time. got a lot of years, got a lot of things. We never know. I have no idea that our family will get in our car and our vehicle and get back to the house. I have no clue that I'll have life and health to walk to the back door and shake hands. We never know. I'm just trying to be serious with what God has put in my heart. Brother Kevin, would you give us a song? And we're going to stand in just a moment. But I ask you once again, are you washed in the blood? Do you know you're saved? Do you know heaven's your eternal home? Whenever Jesus comes again, let's stand. Let's sing.